Brother John, 1 year ago, in the room that you're staying in, the Lord come down somewhere between 12 and 2 o'clock in the morning and give me a revelation. And that revelation led to 2 more people that come with me this year. So this camp meeting get to be a little more richer to me all the time, folks. I have a burden. I've carried this burden now for about, probably a good month or better. And but we're going to have the Lord help us to deliver it. I want to talk on a subject I've never talked on. And that is, we want to deal with the end. And somebody says, well, you're just going to preach on death. No, I'm not going to preach on death. I mean, that's the ultimate. But the bottom line is, you and I tonight are going to have an end. We're going to come to a place at the end of our life where that it may be so fast that you've saved your life. You're going to, when I say save your life, you waited on your life to get saved and you got down to the end. I'm going to get saved right now. And you get down to the end and you die so fast you don't have a time to pray. You'd happen so fast that you're looking all around and the end is gone right there. So now let's turn to the 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Familiar scripture that preached with over the years. Not just me, but others. I hadn't used it a whole lot, I guess, but I've used it some. 7:1 of the good book of Ecclesiastes said, good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than one's birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The end of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for the man to hear the song of fools. For as a crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Now I want to tie that in with Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and about 15. It said, and if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they're utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakeneth, so, O Lord, when thou awakenest, thou shalt despise their image. Now, the end of something. How many of you like to have a good meal and dread getting through? It's so good you want that meal to go on and on. Or I want a second helping, or I want another steak, or boy, that meatloaf's mighty good, or man, that's the finest hamburger I've ever eaten. Brother John and I went to a restaurant up in Ohio when I was holding a meeting up there, and he took me there for breakfast. He said, now they got some real good pancakes. All right. So I ordered one of them. It was about that big around, and it was an all natural, not all natural, but all grain, I think it was called. And I about got the chocolate chip one to go with it. Anyway, I didn't want that pancake to end. It was good. It was real good. Matter of fact, the whole meal was just about out of this world, so to speak. It was good. See, I didn't want it to end. And I've had steaks that away, and I've had other meals that away. And no doubt you've had that in your lifetime. You've had something so good that you didn't want a family reunion to end, or you didn't want this to end or that to end. Maybe you've been out on a date with your sweetheart, and you've had such a pleasant evening just being together. You didn't want it to end, but it had to end.
Yes.
Folks, the end means the end. It's over with. It's going to stop. It's got a cessation. And you and I's life is going to come to an end. But the bottom line is, when I got to meditating and thinking and looking to God on this, He let me know it's not the death, but it's the very time of the end where you have a good relationship with God or no relationship with God, or maybe you're in a hypocritical movement or a situation that you shouldn't be in, and you're down there and you get to a place and you don't have time to pray, you don't have time to consider, you don't have time to weigh. Listen, folks, Hezekiah was a man that was a king for God, and God sent Isaiah by and said, set your house in order, you're going to die and not live. Listen, folks, that don't happen to just anybody. Those people there are multitudes of people that are going out in eternity every night, every second, every day, every hour, and they get to the place that they don't have a chance to utter a thing for God. All right, it says here it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. The living will lay it to heart. Listen, when you go to a funeral, it is a good place to be. It makes you think. It makes you consider. That person laying there, they're gone. Their end has come. Just what was their end? What happened to them? How did they end their life? It may not be like Brother Larry. It might not be like Brother Chuck. It might not be like Brother Simmons. It'd be an end, though. And they've ended their life. And you look at that and you consider that and you weigh it out. And you think, and you consider, and you weigh. So the house of mourning, better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. Oh, tonight, they go and they consider and they weigh and they think, and they go away and they think some more about it. If you just go out and have a good time all the time, you wouldn't think much about it a lot. But listen, it's good to go to the house of mourning. When's the last funeral you went to? When's the last? How many of you has ever seen a person die? I've been at the bedside of a number of them. The first one that I can remember was Rebecca's oldest sister. Only sister. It got down to the end and she had lived for the Lord for many years and had a good experience. And we got down to the end and everything began, her mind began to fail and different things. And Rebecca couldn't take much more and her heartbeat was strong, but her mental wasn't good. And she's going, I don't want to see her suffer like this. So we prayed. Mm-hmm. The next morning, about 9 something in the morning, she just went away. Went on out to heaven. Left us there. I'm going to tell you tonight, it means something when you're at the bedside of a saint and they're a saint. I've been at the bedside of some that I didn't know. Maybe at the bedside of some that wasn't saved. There had been people there that they get down to the end. Had an uncle, I went to see him, and Uncle Johnny. Matter of fact, I'm his namesake, Johnny Ray and Carl Ray. And it was there, my brother was there, maybe mom was there, and we were there, and we went home, and I thought he had a while to live, and got home, my brother called, said, Uncle Johnny's gone. Are you serious? He said, he's gone, Carl, he's gone. You say, well, you have time to pray. Like I said this morning, I knew that man. I loved him dearly. Spent a lot of time with him and his wife. Matter of fact, his wife was my first wife's cousin. And got down to the end. And he had done some things and got away and wasn't where he ought to be. And they said, pray, pray, pray. And he wouldn't pray. Closer he got, the more they begged, and he still wouldn't pray. And he walked out into eternity that way. That was his end. That's not something that you and I want, is it? I don't want to get down to the end, a non-praying person. I don't want to get down to the end and have a life that Well, is he saved? Is he not saved? Where does he stand? I want to have a life that when I get to the end, I can say, I am what I am by the grace of God. God has blessed me, led me, guided me, worked with me. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God and the power of God. And that's why I'm here, praise God. And now I'm facing death and I'm going to step out into eternity and say, here, Lord, I cast my crown at his feet and say, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've done. The end. Well, this writer over here in Psalms, he said here, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. He got to wondering. Another good place to be is in a good service. Over and over and over. I didn't come down here to play games. I didn't come down here to just sit around and talk. I come down here by the will of God to preach the gospel and to stir your heart by the will of God and by the conviction of God and to work with you for the simple reason you will begin to consider and think, what's my end going to be? How long am I going to live? What's it going to be like right down at the end? Some people think, well, it's going to be real good to die. I'm going to tell you, it may not be real good to die. You may suffer immense pain. Listen, there was a man that stepped out into eternity. He had walked away from the church of God even alive in 1988, and here he was in the very end. And Brother Larry told me, he said, according to what Sister Posey said, if it really happened like we heard, he suffered a horrendously horrible death. Listen, folks, not death is not pretty. It takes the grace of God to go through it in a real easy way. But the end of that man was not a pretty end if we understand what happened. So you come to meeting. And the preachers get up and they begin to lay out life before you. Begin to lay it out. Listen, folks, today this is serious business. Eternity and forever. It's not something where you go out there and you play a little while and you come back. Once you get there, you can never come back. You can never change it. You can't buy yourself out of hell and go to heaven. You can't change from heaven and go to hell. Listen, folks, tonight, eternity and forever. And consequently, this man looked at it. He considered it. And then I understood the end. And it was real heavy on him. It real hard place. I want you to see that you may not have a good end. You may not have a good end. All right, let's go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs, the 14th chapter. And about the 14 and 9 of Proverbs. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now I said there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm going to tell you, in another place, Jesus said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Anything outside of that is dangerous. You and I can wonder, well, I want to do this, or I want to go there, or I think this is a good way. I'm going to tell you, the devil's got a lot of ways, and those ways are not good ways. It may look good. It may look like everything's going to be pretty and smile, a lot of roses and so forth, but when you get down to it, the end of those ways is death and destruction and pain and sorrow and anguish. I'm going to tell you, this is the way. Listen, don't walk in a way other than God's way. People say, well, I want to go this way or that way. I'm going to tell you, look around. You see the way of a lot of men. And what are those ways? They're not good ways. They're ways of pain and anguish. They're waves of disaster. You can look back. You can look back in men's life and women's life. And maybe you don't know much about it. And you can look back and you can find that they went this way and they done that. And that led them to real disaster down in life's way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm going to tell you, there's a seem right way that will destroy every one of us if they will let it. We need to take the way that God's way.
Amen.
We need to follow His footsteps.
Yes.
We need to be directed by His hand. Oh, there's been people, they were one or two of them at Guthrie, Sister Dana, years ago, that Lord had been working with them, and they were claiming to be saved and looking for the truth and so forth. And they come to the Guthrie Chapel there and got inside, and the Lord spoke this scripture to them and said, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they started walking that way.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, God's got the best way, most glorious way, most satisfying way, and any way other than that can cause you a lot of problems. The end thereof is the way of death. I'm going to tell you, it's destroyed a lot of people the wrong way. Let's go to Ezekiel 7:1. Ezekiel 7:1. The end. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God in the land of Israel, an end. The end is come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee, and I'll send mine anger upon thee, and I'll judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense unto thee all thine abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I'll remember thy ways upon thee, and thy abominations shall be in the midst of thee, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, an evil and only evil, behold, is come. An end is come. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come, and the day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. This is Israel's final desolation. Israel was God's people. You're God's people when you're doing what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
We're only what we are by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And by the working of the Spirit of God. You take the Spirit away from us, we're no better than anybody else.
Right.
We can get in deception. We can get in ourselves into a real mess if we just kind of go along and do our own thing. And that's what Israel done. Sometimes Israel done real well. Sometimes the king's done real well. But then here it comes, and they got themselves in trouble again, and they got in problem.
Yeah.
Well, God finally got tired of it. And what was it, 70 years after Christ died, He put the final destruction. And they said that destruction was one of the most horrible destructions that could ever be. What's your end going to be like? Oh, Brother Carl, I'm going to have a good end, will you? Israel thought they'd have a good end too, did they? A lot of them rejected Jesus Christ. A lot of them crucified Jesus Christ. A lot of them would have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They condemned Him. They fought by Him. They done everything they could do to destroy Him. Well, they did destroy Him. But the bottom line is, you can put Jesus out. You can send Him down the road. You can reject Him and all kind of things. But He'll have the last say, folks. And you and I better be real careful. The end has come. Bless your heart. I'm going to destroy this people. I'm tired. The end. The prophet here is letting it be known that there's going to be a final end, Israel, and you better get ready. Were they ready? No. They were not doing what they ought to be. And the end came, and it was horrible. I'm going to tell you, the call comes out. The end, the warning, the begging, the pleading, you can look at us, the preachers, you can pick on us and laugh at us all you want to. But the bottom line is, it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and you get down to the end, you're going to wish you'd listen someday. There's a lot of people in hell wishing they's here tonight. There's a lot of people in hell wish they could pray tonight. There's a lot of people in hell like a drink of water tonight. I'm going to tell you what, it's not a good place to be. Hell is horrible. Eternity is long. And there's many, many people that is out there doing the things that they don't want to do. The end. It's coming. It's an alarm being sounded tonight. That how long have you got? Well, I'm going to get saved before I die. Really? Listen to me tonight. There's multitudes of people that made the statement, I'm going to get saved before I die. Really? Can you guarantee me that? Can you write it down on paper and say, here it is, Brother Carl, the Lord told me that? Sister Molly said something to a couple that is dear to my heart. They've been good to her and I. They was good to me before I married her, and now I'm in the family. But they're a wonderful couple. I love them in the Lord. And Molly said something to him here a while back, and she said something about, I intend to get saved, I believe, before I die. But you don't know that. I'm going to get saved before I die. Really? How do you know you're going to do it? Well, I am. There was a young lady one time in Gould, Florida. The saints found her, and she was a prostitute. They got to working with her, and she got saved. She lived for the Lord for a while. And then all of a sudden, she decided she didn't want that life anymore, and she went back to her old life. One day, she stepped out of a door. There was a sidewalk here, and there was a sidewalk here, and there's a man over here, and a man over here, and both of them had guns. And she walked down not realizing what was going to happen. And she stepped right between them at the time they pulled the trigger and killed her stone dead right there. She had time to pray. She had time to repent. Listen, folks, you can't repent sometimes in 1 second. You can't repent in 30 seconds. You might not repent in 2 or 3 hours or 2 or 3 days. Brother Lewis Kimball, when he went to get saved, he shut himself up in a literal closet and stayed there and fasted until he got it. You might not even have 1 second. You may be an instant death. There have been multitudes of people that were killed in car crashes and quit. They didn't know what hit them, so to speak. I'm going to get saved before I die. Really? You're going to do that, huh? I'm going to tell you, you need to think tonight, folks. Eternity's long. Hell is real. Heaven's real. Jesus is real. And the devil's real. And you and I better be careful, because our end may not be very pretty. It may be real sudden. It may be real sad. There have been people, no man right now, not even years. Well, about all my saved life, I guess, so I'd be 40-something years. And he's suffering with cancer. And it's giving him a real round of it. And I was praying for him one day. And the scripture's over here, and I believe it's Job. Let me look here. I believe it's Job 33, where it talks about the Spirit spoke in a dream, 33:15. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not in a dream, in a vision of the night, when the deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon their bed. Then he openeth their ears, and men seeth their instruction, that he may withdraw men from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his life from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also, and this is what I'm thinking about, he is chastened also with strong pain. No, with pain upon his bed, and the multitudes of his bones with strong pain. For that his life abhorred bread, his soul dainty meat, his flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, a life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to shew unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom, praise God. There is a ransom tonight, and you and I need to see that. Get a hold of it. Believe it out. And know there's one Jesus Christ that paid the price, that made the way where you and I, he paid the whole price, praise God. He didn't just pay for all of it. it, or part of it. He paid for all of it and made a way where we could go to heaven. And I was praying, and these scriptures come to me. I thought, oh, tonight he's gone down and down and down. He suffered and suffered and suffered. Doctors at times, I guess, thought there was no hope. And I don't know if they think there is yet or not. Would that be your end? Could you suffer with cancer for days or weeks? Well, it's not going to happen, really. It could. Any one of us in here could get a bad case of cancer and die that way. There could be cases that man can't help, folks. There are doctors out there that can do a lot, but God can do all things. But I'm going to tell you, man can fail. My daddy was laying on his deathbed. The doctor, he was real good in many, many ways. And he told me, he said, it's up to him now. He got to the place where he couldn't do no more. It's up to God. I'm going to tell you, when you get out, the end of every man's life is God. And you better start now. You better see. He said, when I lay beneath the sun, I'm going to know that there is a God. We better know now. We better think now. We better consider now. And I'm going to tell you, hell is real and heaven is real tonight. Yeah. I found a ransom. Amen. Oh, his soul draweth near into the grave and alive to the destroyers, right down to a place. He's going to step out into eternity. His end's going to come. What'll be your end tonight? What'll be your end tonight? Let's go to Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. You know, I better have made a bad mistake. I didn't bring my watch up here. I have no idea what it is. What time it is, what I'm saying. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in the evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of man snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. For man knoweth not. And you're telling me so many words tonight, I'm going to get saved before I die. When are you going to die? How long have you got? Will you be alive by morning? Will you be alive in another year, 2 years, 3 years? Well, as a guy, the Lord told him, said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. How much time do you have? How old are you? Well, Brother Carl, I'm young. I've got plenty of years. Do you? Go out in the cemetery and look at the grave, the headstones. Look at the ages on them gravestones. Listen, I was up in, down in Florida. Sister Molly and I on our honeymoon. And down there, and there was an old cemetery in St. Augustine, Florida, one of the oldest cities in the United States, if not the oldest. And looking at some of the dates, and they were way back yonder. But how long did they live? In all generations of time, everything from the point of birth to 100, 200 years old has died. Did they know when they're going to die? No. You may go along real good. Everything may go real well. I had a teacher back when I was in grade school, and I heard this story about him. Everything, he'd been going along and everything, and I can't remember the full story, but something kind of was not right, so he went and had a checkup. About 2 weeks, he was dead. He was gone. Didn't think anything was wrong. Sister Elaine, she went in, thought she had back troubles, got stage 3 cancer, and probably won't live too long. Oh, tonight, you and I, well, I'm going to live a long time. Are you? Really? Think about it, folks. Think about it. For man also knoweth not his time. You and I do not know how long we're going to live. That's why today is a day of salvation. We need to get saved now. If you're not under conviction, start seeking. Start begging. Lord, I want you. I want to live for you. I'm getting tired of my ways. I'm beginning to look to God and reaching out to Him and praying unto Jesus Christ the righteous and see if He won't give conviction and save your soul. For man knoweth not his time. I remember well, Back a number of years ago, I was at the print shop, and I can't think of his name. Brother Merrill Williamson's son that was married, wasn't one of Merrill Williamson's son married to a Salee. Anita, was that her name?
Anita.
Yeah, and didn't she die at a fairly young age? And then he remarried another person later. And I never knew her. No, I've got too many stories mixed up. It was Brother Merrill's wife. That's who it was, Sister Ruby, wasn't it? All right, Sister Ruby was real sick, and she was on her deathbed, and they called in and said, "We don't think she can live another day," and she lived a whole month. I've been with people, and people say, "Gonna die tonight." They don't die. Somebody said, "Well, they're gonna live a long time. They're dead in a day or two." You don't know your end time, folks. That's why salvation gotten at a proper and effective time, it's the most efficient way to deal with the end of life. You need it now. Don't need to keep going on. You need it now. All right, let's go to Proverbs 29. This is one that the old general used some. Matter of fact, it's etched in my mind. He was preaching one day, brought this out. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He knoweth not his time." It said here, he said, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck." In other words, stands against the Spirit of God, refuses to have God save him or deal with him or work with him. So suddenly, "Well, I got a long time, I'm going to get saved before I die." "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck." God is dealing with people, it's serious. We're not here playing games. You think you can get saved just at any time? You can't do it. It said, that one scripture said, "If the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day." Listen, folks, we've got to have God deal with it. Now, you can seek him. That's what I'm teaching too. But the bottom line is, it takes God. But if people keep turning him, pushing him, rebelling him, and standing against him, you know what? One of the greatest sins you'll ever commit if you're not saved when you die is the sin of rejection. You rejected Jesus Christ and His blood. And when you do that, that's serious to God. He gave His Son. Christ gave His life. And you and I to reject the very one and the very product, so to speak, that will wash us and cleanse us and deliver us. And we reject that and we turn that down, folks. That is serious business to God. That is offensive to God. And tonight, He said He shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. There's nobody can stop the hand of God when He begins to move. Israel couldn't do it. Babylon couldn't do it. None of those people back there, when God made a move to destroy a nation or a body of people, there wasn't nobody going to stop it. And you can't either. My mother was on her deathbed. Or I thought she was on her deathbed. And she called me. She had the flu. And I was at my service station working, and she called me and she said, "I'm dying," or something like that. And I hurried home, and I got there, and Mama's laying there, and I'd gotten saved. I don't know how long I'd been saved, but a little while. And she was laying there, and she was scared. God had dealt with her, and she had rejected it. And now that she got down, she was sick, and she said, "Carl, life is walking away from me, and I can't stop it." And Mama had been a one that was in control. Daddy was a truck driver. He was out on the road. And consequently, Mama had to run the house. And that set her pretty good, so to speak. She would boss, so to speak. But now that she met something she couldn't control, she met something she couldn't stop, she said, "My son, life is walking away from me, and I cannot stop it." You talking about scared? This little old fellow was scared. I don't know. I'm praying for all I was worth. I was begging and pleading, and the Lord had mercy and turned it around. I believe it was God. She said, "I can't stop it." I'm going to tell you, that was scary words to a young man that was, 19, 20? I don't remember just how old. Well, I didn't get in business till I was 20, so it had to be somewhere 20, 21, and I was in there, and it was scary words to me. My mama laying there, it looked like she's dying right under my hand, right under my prayers, right under everything I can do. I'm going to tell you, folks, you can't stop death. When it starts moving, you're in trouble. Amen. Are you rejecting God? Are you rejecting Him tonight? Have you rejected Him in the past? He that being often reproved hardens his neck, makes it stiff, hard. One time you was easy to deal with, but the harder you get, the harder you are to deal with. You go from pliable to like a rock. How well can you deal with a rock? You hit it with a hammer. And you bust it. Listen to Brother Marty talk about when his dad busted up a big old rock. And listen to Brother Marty when he tried to bust up a rock. It wasn't easy. Listen, the Lord wants you and I to be of a real mellow, a real humble consideration of mind and heart, whereby when He deals with us, we say, that's God.
Yes.
One time when I was under conviction, I was sitting at the end of the table. Mama's on that end, and I was on this end. The other siblings was between us. And I was sitting there, I'd been under conviction for a while, and I was sitting there and tears were just streaming. And she looked down at me and she goes, "What's wrong with you?" I was under conviction. God was calling and dealing and letting me know I wasn't ready to go to heaven, letting me know I need to change my ways. And I don't know where it was from that point I got saved. But oh, tonight, the end. The end. Let's go to Isaiah 47. Forty-seven and ten. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, "None seeth me." Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, "I am, and none else beside me." Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, and thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorcerers, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit, if so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counselors, let now the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon me. Behold, they shall be stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even as thy merchant from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarters. None shall save thee. This is backing up what I've been preaching. People think, well, I've got somebody that can help me. There's a man that used to be a preacher among us many years ago, and he got caught up and stepped out of the ministry, but he and I have remained close friends for years. And he got a gallbladder problem. He began to suffer. I heard about it. Went to see him in the hospital. And he told me, he said, "Carl," he said, "I've had the world by the tail, but I don't have it by the tail tonight." He was suffering. He was in a lot of pain. He was a little lying English. And he was there. And they were supposed to come in at a certain time and take his gallbladder out. Everything was supposed to be well. But he kept telling me, he said, "I feel something warm inside." "Something warm, Carl. I don't know what that is." Well, I didn't know. And come to find out, when they actually got in there to take it out, that gallbladder had started tearing just a little bit, and some of that poison was beginning to ease out. He was getting closer and closer to a problemation. And today, he's still where he'd been at for many, many years. The Lord having mercy upon him over and over and over. He went to an altar at Monarch one night and he got saved. And he told me later, he's in double marriage. And he's in a condition he shouldn't be in. And he told me, he said, "Whatever you do, don't tell me I gotta leave her. I'm in love with her." I said, "I'm not gonna tell you that. In other words, he wants his own way. He wants God, but he wants the flesh. Listen, folks, there's going to have to be a change made. There's going to have to be people willing to give up, surrender, turn loose, walk away from the things that they shouldn't have and do. And these things can't save you. Thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it perverted thee. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of smart men got themselves in a lot of messes. Got perverted because of the mind and the intellect and the education. Listen, folks, education's all right in a sense, but this education right here is absolutely necessary if you and I are going to make heaven. The right education, the right knowledge, the right understanding of the Word of God is what you and I need of understanding Jesus and His way. If we're going to go to heaven, we've got to do it the right way. Brother Sammons was in a house one time here in Sister Verna. I was working with a woman. I never did know who she was. And in this house, he sold me, and he said there were bookcases and a lot of false religious books and stuff in those cases. And the woman fixing dinner, Sister Verna was helping. Brother Mark was just looking. Just looking. So they sat down and was eating lunch and supper, whatever it was, and they were talking, and she mentioned something. He said, let me tell you something. Said, the first thing you need to do is get rid of all of that. And pointed to the books. Get rid of all of them. There is a way which seemeth right unto the man. The end thereway are the ways of death. There's a lot of books out there that will lead you the wrong way. Amen. This is the book that leads to heaven. And so consequently, if you and I are going to do, we need to read this book, we need to know this book, we need to understand this book. Tonight, where are you at? Where are you standing? All right, let's go to Isaiah 30. 30 and 8. 30 and 8 of Isaiah. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be forever time to come, forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise his word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be unto you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out of a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as a breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sword to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Holy God, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall be ye be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. Now then, are you one of these that don't want to hear the truth tonight? There's a lot of people out there that want to go like this. They don't want to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They don't want to know the doctrines and understand them. There was a man in a certain congregation many years ago, a preacher had preached, and he was going out, and this man told him, said, you need to take all the writings of Paul and rip them right out of the Bible. He said, I was so flabbergasted, Brother Carl, I didn't know what to say. Tear them all out. The writings of Paul have been a blessing and have helped a lot of people. And he said, he'd rip them out. That man's still with us, but he's in a mess. He's in a mess. He needs help. But there's people. Are you saying, I don't want you to preach the truth? Are you saying, I don't want to know about that? No, don't touch this down here. Leave that alone. I don't want to hear about this. Lord, help us. Yeah. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, what's going to save us and keep us and help us to make heaven? And if you and I start pushing against it, what's that telling Jesus? I don't want you. I don't want your way. I don't want your life. I don't want everything you've got. Listen, if you want to be blessed tonight, if you want power and authority, if you want glory, if you want honor, if you want redemption, I'm going to tell you what you need to do is get in the Word, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But there's people out there pushing back. Are you pushing back tonight? You saying, I don't want that? There have been people that have done that down through the years, and they've gotten real trouble with God, and their end was not very pretty. Their end was not pretty. And that's what he's saying right here. He bear the iniquity shall be into you as a breach ready to fall. In other words, a wall that is in a position that is not strong, and all of a sudden it touches and it explodes, so to speak, and takes you down. There's no way you can stop it. There was two men in Oklahoma City. Devon Tires, I guess, is, if I'm not mistaken, is the tallest building in Oklahoma City now. They were window washers. And two tables coming down, hooked to a what? Scaffold deal, thank you. And one of those cables broke. And they were hanging stories and stories above the ground. And my brother, I heard a little bit about it, saw it on my phone, and finally I found out a little bit about it. So I called him and talked to him about it. He said he found out, he said they were hanging there. I said, did they make it? I don't know what really happened. But they were in trouble. In a time like that, somebody said, well, I'm going to pray. You might not have enough mind to pray. You may be in so much pain you can't pray. Well, I'm going to pray, Brother Carl. I'm going to pray right down at the end. There's no guarantee you'll be able to do any praying at the end of your life. You may try. Princess Di was a woman that thought of over in England. What was her end like? You remember what happened to her? She was killed in a car wreck in a tunnel, and she didn't have any time much. She was wiped out in a hurry. How many people has been killed instantly? I'm going to tell you something I thought of different times down through the years. You remember the Twin Towers in New York City? Now, I've been up at the Empire State Building several times. I almost went up in the Twin Towers one time years ago, and I didn't do it, and I've regretted it ever since. But can you imagine? I've flown a lot of miles. I've been on a lot of different jets. But I'm going to tell you, if I was ever on one, he began to make a turn, and I begin to look, and I see where he's headed. Can you imagine the horror, the thought? Those people, I'm going to hit that big building. I'm going to crash into it. They said the nose of one of them jets went all the way through and come out the other side. Horror. Now, you might have some time to pray, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people lost their lives that day. Are you pushing back? Are you resisting God? What are you doing? What are you doing? Molly, what time is it? It's what? Quarter after eight? Okay, all right. All right, let's go to Numbers 15 and 30. Numbers 15 and 30. I want to bring out just a few, about four places here, people that has had an end. 15 and 30 of the good book of Numbers. He said here, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether it be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul should be cut off from among his people. Because he despised the word of the Lord, hath broken his commandment, and that soul shall utterly be cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day, upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. They put him in a ward because they had not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp. They stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Yeah. Now, God back there had a very strong law and understanding concerning the Sabbath. There, you just really didn't do anything back there on the Sabbath, period. You do this and you don't do that and so forth. You can pick up food, but you don't do this and so forth. He really laid it out real tight. And this man was picking up sticks. Probably to build a fire with. Probably to do something with. And the children found him, so to speak, and they took him in, and the Lord told him to stone him. Now that seems like maybe a cruel thing, but the bottom line was he broke the word of God. The commandment of God. He didn't do what he ought to do. What about you? How many commandments are you breaking? Well, I'm just doing some little things, Brother Carl. I'm not a bad person, really. It doesn't matter how you think you are in the eyes of God. It matters how God feels about it. You and I have got to remember that we're dealing with God. You're not dealing with preachers per se. You are and you're not. But the bottom line is you're dealing with God. You're going to be working with Him. You're going to be your end of your life and so forth. It's going to be dealing with the one that has all power in heaven and earth. The one that can save you and sanctify you and do everything He can for you. Listen, folks, not. Are you breaking a commandment? Are you doing something you know He does not want you to do? This man, he was breaking the word of God. He died. I don't think it was a very long period of time the way it wrote here. Seemed like it was pretty quick. All right, what about Joshua 7 and 19? You know what that is? Achan. Remember the story about Achan? They went into battle and the Lord gave them specific commandments again of what to do and what not to do. And what did he do? He coveted some things, didn't he? He saw the garment, he saw the silver and different things, and he coveted it. He liked that, he wanted that, and he took that and he put it in his tent and he buried it and covered it up real good. And then he went his way and everything's going to be good. I've got all this, got it well hidden now, nobody can find it. But what happened? They got into battle, didn't they? And they got thoroughly whipped real good. And they said, what's going on? And the Lord said, there's problems in the camp, so to speak. There's trouble in the camp. And so consequently, we need to take care of that. There's sin. There's sin in the camp. And tonight, have you got something hidden? You know, I've known of people that have hid things for years. And I'm talking about years. Yes. Maybe it finally come out, but I know a situation where that a wife was murdered. And they never did find her murderer. But because through the family, the children of the husband of this woman made some statements that left some opinion maybe that he killed his own wife. But they never did prove it. He went on, he married a second wife, he lived with her for many years, and I preached his funeral down at the end. But I didn't know whether he'd done it or not, so I couldn't condemn him. I knew him, he'd been good to me as a nephew for years. But the bottom line was, his wife was dead. And if it was him that done it, he pulled off a perfect deal, but he met God. And if it wasn't under the blood, he had to deal with it at the end of life. Yes. I'm going to tell you, people cover up sin. I've got this thing covered up. And it looking real good. I coveted this, and I done that, and I done this. And I've got it all this way and that way. And we're just covering it up real good. I'm going to tell you, folks, that rat runs up and down inside, eating and munching and crunching. And that conscience don't just go away and die. You may sear it real good, but sometimes it may come back and bite you. He coveted it. But the Lord knew it. He knew where it was at. He told them all about it. They went and searched the tent, and there it was. And Achan confessed it. Achan confessed it. He had confessed. But what did the Lord tell him to do? To destroy everything. He didn't leave nothing undone. Destroy it all. Now, what I'm not sure, according to the commentators, his children didn't die with him. The Bible kind of leaves that. But the commentator, at least one I read, or maybe two of them, they're kind of the deal that it was just Achan and his possessions and not his children that died with him. But the bottom line was he died because he'd done wrong. He got Israel in trouble. I'm going to tell you, it's time to clean up our acts if we're covering up sin or covering up things that we shouldn't be covering up. Listen, folks, it's time to come out in the open, confess it out, and clean it up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
This ain't proper preaching right here. You get to delving in people's closets and in their homes and in their junk rooms and their junk drawers. Listen, I've cleaned houses for years. And there's people, a lot of them, have what they call a junk drawer. I've actually been in houses where they had a junk room. And they said, don't even go in there. Well, sometimes I would peek in, and I didn't want to go in there. I want to leave it alone. And I did. Don't touch that, Brother Carl. Leave that alone. Or Carl, whatever they call me. Leave it alone. You don't have to clean that room. I'm going to tell you today, there's people that's got things that they shouldn't have, and it's time to get rid of it. Time to put it out. It's time to clean up your act. It's time to get where you need to get, praise God. The Lord wants to get the church on fire. He wants to fire us up and stir us up and get us up where we ought to be, praise God. But we can't do it if there are people holding on. Achan caused the camp to get in trouble, and there's people can hold the thing back somewhat if they're covering up sin. All right, let's go to Acts 5. Remember what's in Acts 5? But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Now, what they needed to do is just come down there and said, this is what I'm going to give. I sold it for this much, and I'm going to give this much. That's all I'm going to give. But they lied about it. And the Holy Ghost, again, listen, folks, again, the bottom line is we can't cover it up and God not know it. Some people think, boy, I got this thing covered up real good. Well, like I said, I've known a situation. There was a man that looked like he pulled off the perfect crime in Oklahoma. He had killed a person, people, in the steakhouse murders in 1977. And looked like he had pulled off the perfect crime. And he hadn't gotten caught. And he went on down. And what was bad about it, when this crime was committed, he went in to rob the sirloin stockade in South Oklahoma City. And he went in there only to rob it. That's all he was going to do. There were 6 employees in there, and one of them was a preacher. And out of them 6 employees, that preacher opened his mouth and got them all in trouble and killed every one of them. An execution-style murder. He took them in the locker room, and he gunned them down. He brought the next one in. Can you imagine walking up and you seeing one laying on the floor dead? What do you think he's going to do with you? How long do you think they had to pray? He killed all 6 of them. Then later he caught 3 people down on I-35, and I believe they were going to the funeral. He killed all 3 of them. And then he went up north to Chicago, and he was just about to pull off the perfect crime when a girlfriend or ex-girlfriend began to talk. And they had enough evidence that when they took that man to trial, it didn't take the jury very long to find him guilty, because they had oodles of evidence. All they needed was the person, and they nailed him real good. But it looked like he had it well taken care of. Oh, tonight, Lord help us. He kept back a part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was so, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart, that thou hast lied unto men, and not lied unto men, but unto God? You know, some people say, well, I'm just lying to the preacher. No, you're lying to God. It gets serious, folks. Let's take the cover off this thing and open it wide open tonight. Let's not cover things up anymore. Let's not lie and cheat and steal. Let's not do things behind the pastor's back and the preacher's back and the congregation's back. Lord, help us. Didn't know I was going to get into some of this. But Lord, help us tonight to get our lives straightened out. Get it on an even plane, a plane where God can pour out His glory and bless our souls. But they done that. What happened to him? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. What would happen if some of your congregation started dying suddenly? Did that get anybody's attention, Sister Dina? Yeah, I'd get some attention. The young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, buried him. About a space, about 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. They didn't her end. Their end was quick. Their end was without prayer. Their end was caught in sin. And they were gone. What's your end going to be? I'm going to have time. Really? I'm going to do this. Really? I want you to write it down, hand it to me tonight, what you're going to do. Let me know what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, how it's going to work out for you. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people wish they'd heard what the gospel message was and responded to it. Yeah. Got down on their knees and begged for mercy. Because there's a lot of people burning in hell tonight wish they'd had a second chance, folks, or they had what they thought they was going to have. Twelve and 21 of Acts. 12 and 21. Talking about the king. I believe it was. Well, 12 and 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, set upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and he gave up the ghost. How much time did he have to pray? He got too high-minded. He got too exalted. He got to thinking he was somebody. I'm going to tell you, folks, we can get to thinking we're somebody, and the Lord can bring us down in an instant of time. I was cleaning a tub one time. In a house, two-story house, this was on the second story, and this tub was totally sunken. In a regular bathtub, but it's sunken all the way down. The only thing that was holding it was the edges around the tub. And to clean it, I either had to lay prostrate out on my stomach and rub it and do the best I could, or I had to climb in it. And I was laying flat out one day, and the Lord gave me a scripture. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he exalts you in due time. Oh, tonight, the Lord, this man wasn't humble. This man thought he was somebody. The people got to feeding that. Lord, help us preachers that the louder the people say how whatever we are, that we just stay real low at the feet of Jesus. Get down there where Mary was, bless your heart. And this man didn't give glory to God. He didn't lift the Lord up. He just accepted it and done it. And I'm going to tell you, it displeased God, and God took him out in an instant. You can die in an instant. You can die so fast you don't know what happens to you. Your end. What's your end going to be like tonight? What is your end going to be like tonight? All right, let's wrap it up. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 8 and 10. Ecclesiastes 8 and 10. I'll be through in just a minute. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen and applied my heart into every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. Now listen to this. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Now it said here, I saw the wicked buried. I don't know how many years ago it was that this scripture hit me. There is thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have gone to churches down through the years. And our church, let's just put it down to the saints, come in our assemblies over and over and over, not gotten help, not done what they ought to do. There was a young man. At one time he was the son of a preacher, but his dad went down. And he was there in Guthrie one night many, many years ago. And the Lord was working and convicting. And he was trembling and he was shaking. He was under conviction. And he was back toward the back of the old chapel. And he eased out the door and he left. And my brother followed him and said, "Let's go to the altar." He said, "No." Craig begged him. He begged him. Now this is a young man. This ain't no old man. He's a young man. He's probably in his early 20s, maybe his late teens. And he went his way. And about 2 weeks later, I was at the Brent shop again. I don't know how I always end up there where some of these things happen. But I was at the Brent shop, and word come in that this young man had been swimming and got caught up in a whirlpool and drowned instantly and was gone. Sucked him under. He had a chance. God was dealing. He didn't move. And now he's dead within 2 weeks. Do you think he had a lot of time to pray? Do you think he was begging God? Maybe he was. But I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now is the day of salvation. We can put it off and put it off. And our end could be so quick that we have no time to pray. Oh, it said here, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in a city where they had so done this also in vanity. In my mind I'm thinking they've come and gone. And now then, they're buried. They've died lost. All the preaching, all the times, all the conviction, all the working was vanity. It didn't amount to anything. It didn't profit anything with them. That is a sad scene in my mind. The Lord trying. The preacher's trying. The saints are trying. Everybody's trying. And these people are drunken away, keeping going. But I'm going to tell you, their end, it can be very, very sad. He got caught in a whirlpool. He was gone. All right, Psalm 37, 35, and we'll be done. Psalm 37 and 35. And I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. But it said, but mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For the end of that man, for the end. Think about what this is saying. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. I'm going to tell you tonight, it's time to look at those that are living the life. It's time to look at those that have done what God asked them to be. The brother Jim White's, the brother Salmon's, the brother Larry Abbott's, the different ones. I've known Brother Murphy, I've known a lot of the brothers. There were some died just before I got saved. Now, I've just cringed because I didn't know Brother Darius Gibson, Brother Fred Pruitt. I didn't know them. Heard a lot of good things about them. But I'm going to tell you tonight, behold, look at, mark, consider the upright, the saved, the perfect man. Those are living for God. Those are doing what God wants them to do. Look at them, mark them, consider how the life they've lived. Look at that, it's better. It's a life that has been challenging and stirring and convicting. Mark that. Mark that. For the end of that man is peace. Do you want an end to be peace? He said, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away and lo, he was not. I sought him, but it could not be found. Said, but the transgression shall be destroyed together and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. Think about what these scriptures are doing. Balance them out together. It's saying that the righteous man is going to have a blessed end, but the transgressors are not. There's not going to be no peace for them. There is no peace, said my God to the wicked. You're in. What's your end going to be like tonight? Well, I'm going to have a good end, Brother Carl. Are you? Again, I want you to write it down. I want you to bring it to me. I want you to tell me what kind of end you're going to have. Time to stand, have a numbers. Appreciate your time, your attention, prayers tonight. Pray for me.